say to God be the glory.
Amen.
Great things He hath done.
Amen.
What a blessing. Thank you, God. And don't ever take your stuff for granted.
Thank you, Lord.
Got a little breeze in here tonight.
Yeah.
Take your Bibles tonight and turn them into the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. Well, I got some water right there. I don't know if I can read it. There's a frog in my throat stuck across his legs. Ephesians chapter number 3. Brother Larry, can you hear me back there okay? Can you hear me okay? Okay, we just got a new hearing aid today. Brother Larry Day and his wife, Miss Martin, that's Miss Vanessa's mom and dad. And before I preach tonight, I'd just like to thank him publicly for the impact he's had on my life. The Lord put that man in my life at a very, very crucial time. My mother and dad had just divorced. But Jay Bice came by the house and picked us up, put us on the bus, took us to church. And we met Brother Larry and Miss Margaret today. Brother Larry treated me like I was his own kid. Took me hunting.
Amen. Amen.
Talking out of drink
coffee. Amen.
We went hunting. Right down the road from where I live now. I never been so cold in my life. My feet got wet. We got back in his old, was it a Jeep? Was that a Jeep that you had? Was it an old Jeep? Yeah. We got his old Jeep. He cut the heater on and poured me a cup of coffee. That's the best stuff I've had in my life. I love you, Brother Larry. You meant the world to us, you and your wife. And I appreciate it. That's thrilling to death when I looked up and saw him tonight. Amen. Oh, man. I don't know if I'm going to preach or not. Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. Look with me at verse number 1. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. You'll shout right there.
Amen.
He said, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. When Paul said, who am less than the least of all saints, I don't think he had a false humility. I think he really believed that he deserved this less than anybody else. He said, make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Father, as we come to you tonight, Lord, I pray you'd help us just for a few minutes to be a help and a blessing to our people. Lord, we love you. Lord, thank you for your presence here tonight. Lord, honestly, in my heart, I could walk out the door right now and say, boy, that was a good service tonight. And Lord, I pray you help me tonight, God, to help our people speak to our hearts from your book. And God, we'll thank you and we'll praise you, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all have to bear with me. Just. About to run off the front of my face. There's a song. It was written years ago. And the title of the song is, "It Is No Secret What God Can Do." Out of his own personal experience, it is no secret, says Stuart Hamblin, the cowboy singer and songwriter, who confesses that he was once in danger of becoming an alcoholic. A friend of his asked him how he broke the habit, and Hamblin replied, "I didn't do it, the Lord did it." He can do the same for anybody who will let him. It's no secret, he said, what God can do. He went home that night, waiting to go to bed. He heard the grandfather clock strike midnight, and at the same time, the now familiar refrain ran through his mind. He sat down at the piano, and in exactly 17 minutes, it was finished. This famous gospel song, "It Is No Secret What God Can Do." It says, "The chimes of time ring out the news. Another day is through. Someone slipped and failed. Was that someone you? You may long for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I have news for you."
Yeah.
It is no secret what God can do.
Yes,
what he's done for others,
yes,
he'll do for you.
Amen.
With arms wide open, he'll pardon you.
Amen.
It is no secret what God can do. He said, "There is no night, for in his light you'll never walk alone. Always feel at home wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Just take him at his promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you.
Amen.
With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do." Tonight, just for a minute or two, I just want to preach on this thought. It is no secret what God can do. It is no secret what God can do. We've got an important week coming up. I'm as excited about camp meeting this year as I've ever been.
Amen.
We need God to do a work.
Amen.
And God does some things in the life and the heart and the mind of the Apostle Paul that I see here in these verses, and I want to look at them for a few minutes tonight, and I want to see God do for us what he did for him. And I love that phrase, "It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you."
Amen.
We said again, it's no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. Listen to me carefully. God doesn't love so-and-so better than he loves you.
Amen.
The Bible said God is no respecter of persons. What is available or was available to the Apostle Paul is available to Eddie White, Freddie Young, Jason Crow, Charles Dyer, John White. And I'm telling you, what they had, we have. It's the same Holy Ghost. It's the same Spirit. It's the same God. It's the same power. The question is our desire. Just how much of God do you want? God is just as big in your life as you want him to be. Are you listening? Some people have a little God. They've got a Sunday morning God. And that's all God is to them. Some people have a spare tire God.
Right, come on.
They don't pull him out till they're in trouble.
Right,
hey man, every one of us is a little guilty right there. We'll pray a whole lot harder when something's wrong than we will when ain't nothing wrong. Some people have a very small God. I remember one time, I don't make anybody mad, but I don't give a rip. I remember one time Oral Roberts, when he was alive, remember he got on television and said he saw Jesus and he was 90 feet tall. I thought, well, there's your problem. You've got a little bitty Jesus.
Amen.
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 My Bible said the earth is his footstool. I've got a great big God.
Amen.
I've got that same God that they had in the wilderness. I've got that same God they had at the Red Sea. I got the same God that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had in that fire. I got the same God Daniel had in that lion's den. Are you listening? I got the same God Peter had on the day of Pentecost. I got the same power and the same things available to me that he made to me.
Amen.
Amen. How big is God? It's no secret what God can do. I said I wasn't going to preach long. I'm going to try not to. But I want to show you what God did in Paul's life. Just three or four things tonight. And I think we need these in our heart and in our life. Every one of them. I want you to look back with me at verse number one. He said, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you." Say the next word with me.
Gentile.
Now you've got to understand, this is a big deal right here. This is a very big deal. Paul is writing to these Gentiles. Paul was a Jew of Jews. When Paul got saved, he was on his way to persecute Christians. The Gentile was the enemy of the Jew. The Jew was to have no dealings with it. And then God uses this Jew to go to that lesser race and take the gospel. What I'm trying to say to you tonight, number one, God can empower us to love our enemies. God can empower us to love our enemies. As far as I know, everybody's getting along. As far as I know. But you know, the last thing we need going into this meeting is enemies in here. The last thing we need going into this meeting is people who are not right with one another. We need unity.
Amen.
We said again, we need unity. Don't pray for God to show up and bless your heart if you're not right with Brother Charles. He ain't going to do it. You might get an emotion. God can empower us to love our enemies. Somebody just recently said, "I can't forgive them." Been there. And truth be known, you may have somebody have hurt you so bad that you can't forgive them. It's not within your wheelhouse. It's not within your power. But the Christ that lives inside you can.
Amen.
I mean, I wouldn't care how low I had to humble myself to make sure that me and somebody who's sitting in these pews were right tonight.
Yes, sir.
I apologize for stuff I ain't done. I apologize when I'm in the right.
Amen.
Because I am truly sorry that there's something wrong.
Amen.
I told a man just here recently, I said, "Brother, I am so sorry. I didn't do anything. I knew in my heart I didn't do anything. But I was sorry that there was something wrong between me and another brother." Listen, I'm telling you, God can empower us to love our enemies and to forgive one another. The last thing we need going into this meeting is division. Somebody may need to get on the altar and say, "God, I can't, but I know you can. I can't get past this, and I can't get over this, but God, I know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." He didn't say some things. There wasn't an asterisk down there, and you look at the bottom of the page and says, "Only he can't do this." He said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I don't care what's been said or what's been done, you can forgive. Amen. And some of us ought to learn two of the most powerful words in the English language. "I'm sorry."
Amen.
Amen. A lot of times adults are like school kids.
Yeah,
they bow up.
Amen.
Need to bow instead of bowing.
Amen.
They blow up and they get that "bless God" attitude.
Yeah.
Bless God, I ain't apologizing. Are we okay tonight? If the Apostle Paul could dedicate his life even go to jail, be beat, prison, shipwreck, everything he went through for these Gentiles who he used to hate. If God can do that for him.
Amen.
Amen. We've had people in this church get mad and leave. Get mad and leave because people of another race. One lady said, what are you going to do? Make this a Mexican church? Is that what you're trying to do? You're trying to make this a Mexican church? I said, I'd rather have it that than a heifer church.
Amen!
Some of you got racial problems. You need to get that stuff right. The three girls that sung to you a while ago, they're a little bit darker than you are. The three of the godliest young women I've ever had the privilege to know in my life. That wasn't in my notes.
Amen.
Amen. God has allowed this church to overcome some pretty major hurdles.
That's right.
God's allowed this church to do some things that just wasn't done in like-minded churches through the years in this area.
Amen.
Remember the first little black girl that rode our bus to church? She had them little braids all in her hair. She's about that tall. We were having the Lord's Supper that Sunday morning. Me and Brother Charles and two deacons or one deacon. We was in my office. And that deacon made this statement. He said, one of two things is fixing to happen. Either said the bad word goes or I go. Right in my face. Sitting there preparing the Lord's Supper. Brother Charles will tell you, I looked him dead in his face and said, brother, I'm going to miss you. I said, do you want to go out there and look that little 5-year-old girl in the face and tell her she can't come here because she's not the same color you are?
Amen.
Right. Amen.
I said, you're an idiot.
Amen.
He said, you would lose me over her? I said, in a heartbeat.
Amen.
I said, I think Jesus would too.
Amen.
I got home from church that Sunday night, my phone rang. It was that deacon crying his heart out. He said, preacher, this afternoon, he said, the Lord knocked me down, slipped a disc in my back. He said, I'm in the hospital in traction. He said, if you'll call that little girl, you tell her I'll pick her up myself.
Amen.
Amen. What I'm trying to say is God can cause us to love each other.
Amen.
God can cause you to love people you don't like. God didn't say we had to like everybody. They did say we had to love everybody.
Amen.
Are we okay? I don't like so-and-so. You better love them.
Amen.
Amen. I don't want us to go into this meeting this week with squabbles and issues going on. Unless you get that stuff under the mud right here tonight. Get it taken care of.
Amen.
Amen. Over the years, I've watched people. Especially teenagers, girls. Candace right there is one of the main ones. I'm talking about them, that teenage 7th, 8th grade drama. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm glad God made us different than he did women. I mean, boy, they'd have drama. If I could keep mom and daddy out of it, they'd work it out.
Amen.
I've seen them go to one another during the service and grab the other by the hand and go to the altar and get that thing right. And if a teenager can do that, if a child can do that, a mama can do that, and a dad can do that.
Amen.
Are we okay tonight?
Yeah.
God can make us love each other.
Amen.
Even when we ain't liking each other. Really.
Amen.
What the problem is, we get to thinking that the issue is us. And it's not.
Amen.
The issue is Christ. And the gospel.
Amen.
There's nothing bigger than that.
Amen.
There's not a disagreement. There's not an argument. There's nothing we can have that is bigger than the cause of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Are you listening?
Amen.
I was reading something some time ago about an NFL team. All the players didn't really like one another. But they come together as a team and won the Super Bowl. They realized that the goal set before them was bigger than their petty issue. Amen. Them buses rolling out on here on Sunday is bigger than us having whatever little problems we got. Amen. And the little boys and girls hearing the gospel week after week after week is bigger than any of the little squabble that we have going on. What we need to realize tonight is, hey, I may be upset, and you may be upset. This thing's bigger than we are. Let's forget about that and go on. When God did that for the Apostle Paul, he can do that for you. Here's the problem. People love and nurture their hate. They don't want it gone. I know people who have lived in a spirit of anger for years. I'm talking about people that used to shout and praise God. Now they're as miserable as anybody had ever wanted to be. And they've chose to live there. And they don't have to. They don't have to. Chances are that the person that's got you upset, it may not even be nobody in the church, it might be somebody in your family. It's driving you crazy, but they went on with their lives.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You ought to get this altar tonight and forgive them for your sake. Are you listening? God can empower us to love our enemies. He can do it. I've watched him do it. I've watched him do it. People sitting in this room.
Amen.
I've seen him turn racist. Amen. Into somebody that will share the gospel.
Amen.
With a different race.
Amen.
It's exactly what he did with Paul.
Yeah.
I'm just sticking right here for a minute.
Amen.
Don't let this go in one ear and out the other.
Right.
It's important that we love one another.
Amen.
Remember he said, second up under loving God with all your heart and your mind. Y'all remember that? What was the second greatest commandment? That we love one another. That's important. And I'll be honest with you, church. I love you. And I have my heart. And I ain't sideways with none of it.
Amen.
I ain't got a problem with none of it. I ain't got a complaint. I thank God for it. Sit up here on this platform and not realize just how blessed I am to have you as a family. And we are family, by the way.
Amen.
God can empower us to love our enemies. Number two tonight. Look at verse number two. Paul said, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, have that by, say the next word with me. Revelation, he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before, in a few words. Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. I said, number one, God can empower us to love our enemies. Number two, God can empower us to understand his word. God can empower us to understand his word. Now listen to me, when I got saved, half this Bible didn't make a lick of sense. They still things I run up on, I go, I don't get it.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You ever run into that fellow who's got it all figured out? He's an idiot.
Yeah.
Amen. That know-it-all that's got an answer for everything. I got an answer for everything. I just can't guarantee you it's right.
Amen.
Yeah. Opinions are a lot like armpits.
Yes, they are.
Everybody's got two, they usually stink. Amen.
Amen.
I said God can empower us to understand his word. He said God made known unto me the mystery. God revealed what he was talking about. What the mystery was how the gospel was going to go to that Gentile, and he's going to be just as right there with that Jew.
Amen.
They couldn't understand that before. Are you listening? You say, what's that got to do with camp meeting? We don't just need to hear the preaching. We need to get it. We need to get it. Somebody made this statement to me. They said, Brother Fisher is over my head. Brother Fisher is just over my head. I don't understand it. You know what you need to do? You need to pray.
All right.
You need to pray, and you need to turn to every verse he asked you to turn to. If you'll follow him, he's different. He's from California. He is from the land of fruit and nuts. He'll tell you that himself. He's one of my dearest friends. Brother Fisher's odd. Oh, I've slept the same house with him. I've spent time with him. He's odd. Me and Brother Tony Shirley call him Yoda. Because spiritually, he just floats above everybody else. He is a spiritual giant in my eyes, and I love him. But if you'll ask God to help you, don't just sit there and go, well, I don't get you.
You're right.
You'd be surprised who and what God could use to speak to your heart.
Right, right.
If you ask God for the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding, amen. Every verse. And he's probably going to have you turn to about 10 per sermon. Turn to him. If you don't understand it, say, God, you've got to help me. Lord, you've got to give me the power to understand your word. Evidently, you sent this man here. You laid this man on my preacher's heart. He's supposed to be here, and he's supposed to be preaching to us. So evidently, you have something to say to me. Help me grasp it.
Amen.
Help me get it.
Amen.
First time I heard Brother Fisher was 22 years ago, somewhere in that neighborhood. Well, it was shortly before we moved to this property. Brother Fisher preached at New Manor. Never heard of him. They said he's from California, and I was like, I wasn't expecting this. Then he started preaching. I've never even heard anybody preach like that. That style, I've never. He didn't hack, he didn't spit. He didn't get real excited. As soon as that service was over, I went to that man and said, is there any way, I don't care what it costs, would you come preach that message in my church? Some of you were around back then. It was what and how. What and how. He told us that God had shown us the what, and God will handle the how. At that very point in time, I just looked at this building and I was like, Lord, there ain't no way. There ain't no way, God. There's no way we can ever do that. And this was the what. But I didn't know the how. Brother Fisher came to our church and preached that message. God is ready for this move.
Amen.
We need to pray that God would empower us to understand his word as we hear it. Amen. I guarantee there's something for you in every message that will be preached. Every message that will be preached. There'll be something there for you. And you may get something that I don't. And I may get something that you don't. But you know what we'll both get? What we need. Have you ever been sitting and listening to a preacher and God do something in your heart that's totally wasn't even what he was talking about?
Amen.
Y'all know what I'm talking about? We need to come in, not just with open ears, but with open hearts.
Right.
And ask the Lord to speak to us. Every service. And if it's to where you can come, don't dismiss these morning services because we're calling it leadership. It's going to be preaching. Because you had a job, I'd take off. So I'd at least give you a couple hours. Run down here and get in on it. I got a feeling. Who knows? Brother Charles. In this meeting, God may just be getting us ready to do something else.
Amen.
I'd hate for him to send a message and I didn't get it.
Amen.
Say again. I'd hate for him to send a message and I didn't get it. A while back, I guess it was the lightning knocked out our phone system. It was out for a couple of weeks. A preacher friend of mine called me Several weeks later, he said, "Man, I've been trying my best to get a hold of you. I didn't have your cell number." He said, "I've left you message after message." I said, "Man, I'm sorry. I didn't get it. I didn't get it. My receiver was broke." In other words, the device that needed to get the message conveyed to me, something's wrong with it. Let's make sure next week our receiver's not broken.
Amen.
And we get every message that God had intended for us.
Amen.
Amen. God can empower us to love our enemies. He can cause us to be right with Him and right with each other. And by the way, if we're not right with each other, we're certainly not right with each other.
Amen.
Amen. God can empower us to understand His Word. Thirdly, God can empower us to serve. To serve Him. Amen. Have you ever thought God laid something on your heart and you thought, "Man, I can't do that"? But you did. Amen. Look at verse number 7. Verse number 7. He said, "Whereof I was," say the next word with me,
"made
a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of His power." He said unto me, "Who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Here's what Paul's saying. I'm the last person in the world that God should use. But yet He's empowered me to do this very thing.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Next week, we want to hear from God. We want to love each other and be right with God. But we also want to be ministers of God next week.
Amen.
I want to be a blessing to these people that are coming.
Amen.
We got a group of local preachers, a group of preachers coming from Alabama to these morning meetings that have never heard anything like what they're going to hear. Man, I want them to get a blessing. We're going to cater to them. If you come in and somebody's got your seat, move. If you don't have a seat, I have a favorite place where you sit. I do. That's my seat right there. If I come in here Monday night and Brother Fisher's sitting there, I'm going to go, "Oh, I'll sit over here." Are you listening?
Yeah.
We want to be a blessing to these people.
Amen.
There are people coming from out of town, staying in hotels to get something here.
Amen.
Let's make sure we don't do anything to hinder them giving.
Amen.
Amen. Allow God to use you. We okay?
Amen.
And lastly, the greatest thing we need in this camp meeting. Hey, would it be something if God called a preacher during this meeting?
Amen.
Amen. Wouldn't it be something if somebody surrendered to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with their life next week during this meeting? That'd be good. What if God called a missionary during this meeting next week? Some of you guys are sitting there going, "Oh, I hope it ain't me." Are you open to whatever God wants?
Amen.
Amen. On his way to Damascus in Acts chapter number 9, Paul's plan was not I'm going to leave here a preacher of the gospel.
Amen.
That's what he's saying right here. He said, "I'm the least. I'm the last person in the world that should be writing you this letter. Now here I am." The Lord enabled him.
Yes.
The Lord empowered him. I remember when I told Brother Junior Beard at White Oak that I'd teach a Sunday school class. I walked up on the steps on the Sunday and he told me he'd pray about it. I was thinking 4 or 5 year olds, something like that. We'd cover, you know, that was about my speed. I walked up on the steps and Brother Beard was being chewed out by the teen Sunday school class teacher. Right as I walked up, he had his finger in Brother Junior's face. He said, "That's it, I quit." Brother Junior turned around and said, "There's a class, they're waiting on you."
Yeah.
I said, I can't. I, Brother Junior, I ain't never even taught." He said, "God does it all the time."
Yeah.
He said, God does it all the time. Just let him use you.
Amen.
I didn't have a clue what to do. I hadn't studied. I hadn't prepared. I walked in that class and said, hey. Brother Randy, I think you was in that class. There was just a few kids. Man, it wasn't no time. We about had a junior church full, didn't we? The Lord just blessed that thing. I couldn't do it. God called me to preach. First thing out of my mouth was, I can't do that. Lord, you made a mistake. If God calls you, he'll equip you.
Amen.
Last thing I'm doing, and this is maybe one of the most important things we can do for this upcoming week. Verse number 12. Paul said, in whom we have boldness. And say the next word.
Access.
Boy, I love that. With confidence by the faith of him. I said he can empower us to love our enemies. He can empower us to understand his word. He can empower us to serve him. He can empower us to communicate with him. He can empower us to communicate with him. I'm glad we have access. Let me say it again. I'm glad we have access. When Levi was growing up, he'd go in my office. I used to have a refrigerator inside my office. I used to keep candy in my office all the time. He'd just go in my office. He'd knock. He'd just go in my office, give him a bottle of water or a drink, and he'd give him some candy, and he could do that. Everybody else's kid couldn't.
Yeah.
But he could. Because he's my son. He's my son. I'm glad tonight I'm his son.
Amen.
I don't even have to knock.
Amen.
I've got an open door policy.
That's right. Right.
With the King of Kings.
Amen.
And the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
Woo.
Amen.
What a privilege to carry everything to God.
Amen.
In prayer.
Amen.
One of our greatest tools is one of the most unused. Everybody talked about that great revival meeting in Burlington, North Carolina. Was it 13 weeks? Y'all remember?
Yeah.
13 weeks. Over 1,000 people got saved.
Yeah.
And I love Brother C.T. Townsend. He's my friend. Has been for years. Met Brother C.T. when he was a kid. He started coming to our youth rally. Oh, he's a great young preacher. Don't get me wrong. But it wasn't C.T. Townsend.
Right.
For 20 years, there's been a group of people who meet once a week.
Yep.
Faithful for 20 years, praying God would send revival to Burlington, North Carolina.
Right.
How much time do you spend praying for this meeting? 5 minutes? 10? We'll bathe this thing in prayer. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. Wouldn't it be something if God showed up in such a way I had to tell them preachers, hey, I can't pray? God's come out to stay. We can't quit.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand up.